Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you're right now.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. Still playing the waiting game on if we're going to get a conclusion to the NBA season. I feel very optimistic about it. I know Jazz fans right now are still a little down following the news of Bojan Bogdanović, but I even think Jazz fans would take a depleted roster if we could get some postseason basketball. We are going to talk more abstract conversation here on the show. We're joined right now by Tom Perkins, who's an independent NBA scout, also the founder of HoopCityNews.com, an excellent, excellent website. I look forward to getting Tom's emails when he sends them out periodically with his two-minute reads. Tom, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time again today. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and if for no other reason, that fantastic intro that you give me every time.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I always enjoy the conversations. And I know right now, if we're talking NBA basketball, again, I'm going back to the abstract conversations. A lot of people want to discuss the Last Dance documentary. I talked about that in depth on Monday. I gave my opinion now that the 10 episodes were out. And now a lot of other people are talking about the greatest of all time because there's just not a lot to talk about. However, last night, Horace Grant did give us something, I guess, fresh to talk about if we're going to discuss The Last Dance. Horace Grant does not seem to be amused of the portrayal of the teammates of Michael Jordan within this documentary that we have watched over the last 5 weeks. Tom, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't refreshing to see a different take, and I said this on Monday. I was entertained by the documentary, but it did come across to me as somewhat of a puff piece that adds to the mythology of Michael Jordan. I'm not taking anything away from the guy's greatness. I just thought it didn't do a whole lot to support the incredible crew that MJ had around him during these six championship rings, and apparently Horace Grant feels the same way.
Yeah, it definitely does look that way. I mean, there was some issues that were spoken about that maybe Michael could have not spoken about. But this is a piece done about Michael and from Michael. So, you know, he definitely was in control of the whole piece. And, you know, there was a lot of things that went on throughout those years and a lot of drama. And you would figure, how in the world are they winning six in a row? Well, you know, 3-3, you know, with all that drama. Because I don't even imagine that the Lakers had that much drama. So, you know, he told it on his point of view, and some of that point of view probably was very controversial. For example, there was no need to talk about how he went into a hotel room in his rookie season and there was a bunch of drugs going on and this and that. He could have saved that, because when you brush a stroke like that, you paint a lot of guys into a bad corner. So he could have done without that comment. But again, it was a piece that was done on his behalf, for his behalf, and it did show his cumulative greatness, without a doubt. It definitely illustrated how great he was.
Done on his behalf, and I think maybe that's where Horace Grant comes in with a problem. He calls it the so-called documentary because it was done on Michael Jordan's behalf. And so, you know, all I would say to the listeners is there's another side to this. Yes, it was very entertaining, but to say that it was a flat-out documentary, I have to agree with Horace Grant in this regard. It's not exactly a documentary when you have one person a part of the story that is controlling aspects of it. So, Tom, you've been around the game of basketball for so long. You're a well-known independent scout. We have talked about, you have worked for just about every NBA team. What is your knowledge on the Chicago Bulls from that era? You know, 1991 to 1993, and then coming back, Jordan, the repeat, three-peat. What's your knowledge and your familiarity, I guess, around the game with that particular era?
Well, you know, the Bulls, of course, had a fantastic team and was put together by Jerry Krause. However, Jerry Krause, in the end, dismantled that team for almost no reason. But, you know, there was a lot of things, everything centered around Michael, because he was such a force. He was a force of nature, a force of basketball, and he was such a winner that you could see that kind of attitude in Kobe, for example. Kobe was such a winner. and that he was willing to fight his own teammates to get him. So the way I look at it is, you know, the Bulls had a lot of variables in their run of 3-3 with six straight championships. That pretty interesting stuff in the anecdotes. For example, I know about this. There's a guy named Sam Drucker that was a professional poker player from Vegas, and he kind of got involved with Michael during those days. And they played, like, I don't know, 8 hours straight poker, and he just took Michael to the cleaners. Well, Michael insisted on playing 8 more hours just to beat him once. That's how competitive he was. So it's like he admits he didn't like to necessarily be viewed in that light as a bully or some kind of a, you know, drill sergeant, but he had to do that to get him on the right page. I mean, look at Rodman, look at Scottie Pippen having that surgery in the summer. So it's kind of a thing where if he wasn't like he was, they probably wouldn't have done it. But it's a pretty special team, without a doubt.
Well, there's no question. There's no question about it. During this documentary, one of the things that stood out to me was Scottie Pippen still didn't get the love that I feel he has deserved. And again, we're being joined right now by Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. And so, Tom, I want your perspective on Scottie Pippen. When I look at the greatest on-ball defenders to ever play the game of basketball, in my mind, there were two on this team. And again, I'm not throwing shade at Michael Jordan, but you have to respect what Dennis Rodman can do as far as on-ball defense. And if we're talking about perimeter lockdown defenders, Scottie Pippen is at the top of my list. And so in this documentary, we saw Scottie take the Bulls to Game 7 against the New York Knicks. One thing that was not highlighted in that series, there was really a controversial call in Game 6 that worked against Pippen and the Bulls. Otherwise, it may have been Chicago going back to the NBA Finals against the Rockets the year Jordan stepped away from the game. I don't know that Scottie Pippen will ever get the love that he deserves. And there's a couple of players in my mind that you could throw in that same category. James Worthy, he had to play with two Hall of Famers in Magic and Kareem. James Worthy was phenomenal. Even in college, he was phenomenal, but he played with Michael Jordan, so we don't talk a lot about that. If we talk about the Celtics dynasty, well, there's all kinds of other players that you could throw in that conversation as really never getting the love. I don't know if we view Kevin McHale in the same breath that we probably should based on how good this guy was. So I'm curious as to your thoughts on Scottie Pippen and where he ranks in your mind as an all-time great.
Yeah, well, he definitely ranks way, way high. I mean, he's got six championships, and he was definitely one of the best on-the-ball defenders ever. I don't know. I think that they showed enough in that 10-part series of the things that Scottie did do to get him the kind of love he deserves. In other words, yes, he made some faux pas and mistakes, like, you know, talking about how he would have, you know, sat out that last 1.8 seconds. He's interviewed 30 years later, and he says, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing. That was not a good look for him.
No.
But all in all, anybody who knows basketball would have to say, listen, this guy was very integral to that team. And I think that even Michael Jordan fully admits he had to have Scottie. So, yeah, they showed a little bit too much of his faults, but they also showed his accomplishments.
Tom, one of the things that I didn't believe got enough pub in this documentary, and again, because it was all about Michael Jordan, but the year he had retired, the 1994 playoffs, the Bulls take the Eastern Conference champion New York Knicks to 7 games. And really, it should not have gone 7 games. There was a phantom foul called against Scottie Pippen in Game 5 on Hubert Davis with under 2 seconds to play. It received no pub in this documentary. It was a phantom, outlandish call. The Knicks end up winning Game 5, and had it not been for that call, the Bulls probably win that series in 6. They close it out in the next game in Chicago. Instead, the series ends up going 7. Chicago falls short. But this was a team that was led by Scottie Pippen, and this got no pub in the documentary.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the con. But, you know, again, in Phil Jackson's style, he was going to go ahead and fight for his team. and he needed to do that. But, yeah, that was a very controversial call. It should not have been called, for sure.
Things were completely different in that series had that had happened. But yeah, a very entertaining series, a very entertaining era of basketball. So, Tom, before we move on from the Bulls, I'm going to ask you this. If this team comes back, if they found a way to make it work, if they got Scottie his money, there's a lot of ifs here in play, but if they come back following the victory over the Jazz in 1997, they go to the 98-99 series season, which is shortened by the lockout, do the Bulls win four straight?
Yes, I think they could have. Yep, because the thing is, all they would have needed to do, and I think that Reinsdorf would have been willing to do that, is to give these guys, the big guys, a one-year contract, just a one-year contract. They didn't have to go ahead and sign them long-term. So, you know, sign them for a one-year contract to give them a shot at number seven, I think that they could have done it. Yep.
Tom Perkins, again, our guest right now. We're going to break for just a moment. More coming up here on Drive Time Sports. Tom, I know you're going to hang around with us for one more segment. We'll continue the abstract NBA conversations. We'll talk the greatest of all time. I'm not big on all-time greatest lists, but I like your criteria and how you break it down. So I'm looking forward to that next segment.
Right. Okay.
All right. More coming up right here on Drive Time Sports.